like I said last week, you know, to receive something, you got to get your hands ready for it. Somebody throw a ball at you, you're going to open your hands and catch it. You have to get yourself prepared to receive. And sometimes we miss out on opportunities because our posture's not there yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, we miss out on that. Last week, I got into some stuff last week with about cross movement, about picking up your cross and taking it to the marketplace and getting it out and talking about the anointing, basically talking about the marketplace, the anointing, and what God can do from you and through you. And I pray that your week was great. I pray that you had a different perspective on your calling. I know that at times the church has made it like the pastor's the only one called in full-time ministry. But if you call on the name of the Lord and he is savior of your life, we are all in full-time ministry to preach the gospel and to witness to somebody and to lead somebody to Christ and even lead him back to the church and gather with the saints. You know what I'm saying? We're all called to do it. And if you weren't here, if you need to go back, go on YouTube, go on Spotify, go on iTunes, however you do it, we're there. We're there with you on all those platforms. So I want to, a little bit today, I want to, bear with me on this. I need to look something up real quick because I know I forgot, and that's a bad idea if I forgot. I'm going to have to ask. Yeah. Okay, I'm good. Almost got scared, church. Almost got real scared. Because, you know, I was going to say, I forget Mother's Day was coming up. That's in a couple weeks. You won't miss out on moms. We can't be here without them, right? But I was thinking about it in my head. I was like, oh, my gosh, is that next week? Because I can't believe it's already going to be May, and I'm already... I don't know where I'm at. I'm always looking at stuff, and I'm like, man, how does it just go so fast? So fast. When you're a kid, it goes just so slow, you know? Like, and it's different now with life and everything going on. But anyway, one more time. I don't know how else to say this, but if you can make it, come Thursday. Come be with us. Let's lift up, just like we just did right here. In worship, let's do it again Thursday out there. That's all we're going to do is just lift him up. We're going to have the acoustic, we'll have the djembe, we'll have some mic, you know, we'll do what we do and just go out there and give it to the Lord and present the gospel to people. And we're excited about it. Yesterday, Felicia and Montreal got married in this church yesterday. And what an amazing wedding they had. If you were here, what amazing time that was. Just a very intimate moment. So just it was fun. We had a good time and seeing a lot of people in the church come to the wedding and also just their hearts towards God and how they wanted to present that through their marriage, getting together and keep like communion and the stuff they did, just keeping it centered around Christ. And it was really great. anyway, last week I talked about the cross being in a movement. We got to get moving with the cross. You know, don't just wear a cross. Let's carry the cross. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to get moving with that. I talked about the anointing, how we're anointed to do this. But today I want to get a little deeper into the anointing, if that's okay, if that's fine. I don't know if you're ready for this, but we're going to dig into it. And I'm going to talk about the alignment with God. I'm going to get into that, the alignment with God, because when you're in line with it, that's where it all flows from. You feel like, well, how do I don't feel like I don't feel anointed or whatever the case is. Well, what you got to check is your alignment. Are you right in line with where God wants you to be? Because if you're off, you're going to miss the anointing. Can I get an amen from somebody in there? There we go. You got to help me. You got to help me today. And I was thinking about alignment. Like, first, people get their teeth aligned. They get that thing, and they get that the braces, and they try to get that jawline lined out so everything can work out later better. And then the most common thing is the car. When your car needs an alignment, you definitely know. If you don't know, if you don't understand it, now look, I ain't trying to tell you I said this, but when you leave and you look over your steering wheel and it drifts somewhere, now look, the pastor told me to do it, and don't blame me, I ain't paying bills for you. But when you can feel that it, if you're always having to turn it to a certain way, I remember one car that needed it bad. Now, if your steering wheel is already cranked all the way to the right and you're going straight, we got a problem. You definitely need to remember that car, Dad. Remember you did that once? Yeah. That was a mess. But I guess what I would say in this, just to get this opened up, we like cars get out of alignment. We like cars at times get out of alignment. And I believe, like, with this whole thing, talking about the anointing and the alignment and getting us together, real quick, we do need to be brought back into alignment. And I was thinking about the cars that get aligned. I had to have one. Most of the time when you need an alignment, something happens. Like, there's at least 50 potholes on one block in your neighborhood. You know what I mean? And I'm the guy that wants to go buy dirt and a couple flowers and plant flowers in your potholes in front of your house. Not in your yard, just in the street. I mean, if they're there and nobody wants to fix them, let's just put dirt and flowers in them. but anyway, just a thing. I keep looking. I'm like, I'm buying dirt. I'm going to dump something in there and just going to have a little flower sitting there. If there's a hole's going to be there, might as well put something in it. But at times, like, you need that. If you hit something hard, it's going to throw it out of alignment. You get new tires, you got to get in alignment with that. There's just no way around trying to get in alignment, and you need that. There's four things that they talk about, and I remember when I got the last alignment that we had, your car is aligned. If it's aligned, it reduces tire wear. If your car gets aligned, the tire wear gets reduced. I don't know if you noticed that or not, because if you're not aligned, your car's not aligned, then the tire starts wearing, then you got not just only your steering wheel and everything's off, now you got this just bow inside the whatever side it is that is messing up your tire. So if you don't get an alignment, what happens? We have more problems later. And that's real deal. It does. The other thing that they were telling me when we were doing the alignment, it says, I wrote it down, it says, it enhances your fuel economy. So it gets you better gas mileage because you're rolling right. You're rolling straight. I don't know how that works, but I guess it does. But it gets you better. It doesn't take much when you're aligned than it does when you're out of alignment. When you're out of alignment, I guess it takes a little more gas than when it does when you are aligned. When you're out of alignment, you burn more fuel. And so the other thing is it improves handling. It's easier to steer, like I said, and handle when you're aligned. You're barely touching the steering wheel. Everything's good. Everything's just right in that moment. But when you're out of alignment, you're always constantly holding on because of a small movement, you're drifting to the left or to the right because your steering wheel is jacked up. They say it increases your drive safety, the safety of your car. If the car is aligned right, the only safe place for you as a believer, honestly, is to be aligned in God. The safest place you can be is in alignment with God. Amen? And you can be aligned with Him. If you're not aligned with God, that's why everything is wearing out. Man, I got a little hanky. I'll do that for that. That's why everything is wearing out, if you're not aligned with God. And see, what's crazy is when you're aligned with God, He can steer. When you're not, it's difficult to steer the vehicle. But when you're aligned with God, He can do all the steering. You hear the word, And see, when you get out of alignment, what happens is like you hear it, but then you don't act on it. It's the same at the Word of God. You hear the Word, but you don't do nothing about the Word. The tire wear, the more gas. When you're out of alignment in your vehicle, long term, it messes you up. Long term, it's going to cost you more. When you're out of alignment with God, guess what? Long term, it's going to cost you more. It messes you up. It throws you, the steering's just off, and it might look good for a little bit, but halfway down this aisle, you start drifting off, and you wonder why later that you're not on the right path. We have to be in alignment with God. And I wanted to talk about there's more. There is more. There's more, like, there's different, there's more, there's going to be more from you in that. There really is. There's this alignment, but there's more from you. We've been saying if you're new and you're looking around like, you got stuff everywhere. Yes. When you leave, there's more. There's more for you to do out there. There's more for you. There's more from you. And this is from you because the reality is God is trying to get you. We talk about being anointed and we talk about wanting these moments with God. But are you lined up in the right alignment with God to receive the anointing? Are you locked in? Are you taking care? Or is it just going through the motions and you're wore out? Have you got here and your tires are almost jacked up and you barely made it? But listen, you're here though. You don't have to, you might have came in all weary in the way you are, but you don't have to leave that way. That'd be your choice at the end of this thing. There can be an alignment in your life and the anointing that flows can flow through you. We talked about being anointed to do it. But I tell you, if you get out of alignment with God, you will not be anointed to do it. Right. And that's just my intro. That's just the start. Let me read you a little something. Woo! Man, God's so good, isn't he? Oh. Jesus, help me. Let me do it over here. It's bigger. My eyes are good, just bigger. I got a Bible here, but I got this one here, and I got this one here. We have to get in alignment with God because he wants to do something great in our lives, and if we allow it to happen, it will. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel 16. We kind of hit on it last week. We kind of hit on it a little bit. I'm going to go into it a little bit. And while you're looking for 1 Samuel in your Bible or on your phone, I will say this. If you're new today, welcome home. We love you. We're glad you're here. If you haven't been here in a while, welcome home. We're glad you're here. We love you. And if you know somebody that's not here, just get home. You ever heard that when you was younger? Get home. Just come home. Come home. So that's it. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1. We're going to go into this, and I'm going to read it in the NIV. We're going to dig into this real quick, and I'm going to jump right in. You ready? Here we go. The Lord said to Samuel, the prophet, how long will you mourn for Saul? Hit the brakes real fast. Samuel was upset about what happened with Saul. Because Saul got out of alignment with God, he took his anointing from him. And Samuel was hijacked over it. It messed him up. How long will you mourn for Saul? I got to just keep reading because you ever had stuff just download instantly in the moment? How long will you mourn for Saul since I rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. Holy cow. Get up and get going. I think, and I don't want to hit on this too hard, but I think that we get stuck with some people that just won't get aligned, and we're still mourning over it, and God's saying, get up, there's still more people to get to. Not saying that they don't matter, but you got to keep moving. Because if you get idle and you stay in, I get there's a mourning process, but there comes a time when that's got to stop and dry it up. We got to get going. But if not, you're going to be out of alignment because you're mourning on somebody that don't want to be in alignment. Wow, that's good stuff. We're worried about somebody else's stuff because they don't want to, and then it throws you out of alignment with God. And if you're out of alignment with God, how's the anointing going to hit you? Anyway, get up, get going. I'm sending you to Jesse and of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Now you know God for a fact knows who it is. He could have just said the name and said, go and take care of business. But I'm going to choose one to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. Man, I got to preach this sermon, but see, we're so locked in on trying to figure it out for ourselves. If you just walk by faith, God will show you what to do next if you just take the step to do it. He's been saying it since the Old Testament to the New Testament to our stubborn heads right now. Just go. I will show you what to do. Well, I don't know if that's God. Well, I don't know if that's this, and I don't know if that's that. I'll show you what to do. Woo. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said, and when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town were trembling when they met him, asking him, do you come in peace? Because Samuel would come and he would say, this says the Lord, you ain't getting your stuff in order. You better get it in order. If you don't, he's coming down on it. Like the prophet came to like create some alignment, trying to get stuff in order. He was the mouthpiece, but was trying to get people to shift their gaze and get in alignment with God so God could do something. So they were afraid because when the prophet came in, something's wrong. But nothing was wrong this time. Do you come in peace? They're trembling. Yes, I come in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Consecrate. Basically, we kind of do consecration every time we eat, hopefully. Hey, it's time to eat dinner. Go wash your hands. Go clean up your face. When they're consecrating, they're separating themselves. They're separating themselves from different things. They go and they wash. They wash their hands. They wash their body. They wash their clothes. They change their outfits. They get real serious. It's almost like a fast in a way. So like he's saying, I brought the heifer. I brought it. We're going about to sacrifice it. We're about to do this whole thing unto God. I need you to get prepared for this. Today, people don't even want to get prepared just to come to church. I mean, it's a hard thing just to walk in the house of the Lord, let alone thank God Christ died on the cross, because it'd be a bloody mess up here. And who would show up just to do the work? Because ain't nobody want to work anymore. But putting in the work for God, well, I ain't getting paid, or I ain't getting seen, or I ain't getting enough clout, I ain't getting it online. This ain't about you, this is about him. This has always been about him. That's why we carry our cross. That's why we die to our flesh and we live by the Spirit of God daily. I didn't even start preaching. I'm just reading the scripture. I hope you ain't got plans. Okay. Going to Sizzlers. Anyway. Consecrate yourselves. Come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed one. Stands here before the Lord. Surely that's the one. That's the one. But the Lord said, Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. Amen. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see people flexing and they're, oh, I'm getting big, I'm getting gains, I'm getting my gains. What's your heart look like? Is it gaining? Is it flexing? You see what I'm saying? Like, we get so caught up in every day. See, and Samuel saw this because the people wanted a king. And so Saul was that guy, that big, tall guy that was strong. And he looked, oh, you look like a king. You stand above everybody else. You look like you could do this. The first one right out the gate. Oh, that's the one. Nope, 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 Samuel. That's not the one. But God looks at the heart. Jesse calls Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen you either. The Lord has not chosen you either. And that would be messed up because you got the, he's, you know how he's doing. Jesse's doing the big strong ones first. He's starting work down the line. All right, give me that third one. He's kind of strong, you know, like he got one crazy eye, but he kind of strong, but you see what I'm saying? Like going down the line, changing it all up, doing all this stuff. He's getting another one. Then he has this other son. What's his name? Shammah? I think that's the way you say it. He calls him up. And he passes by and he said, neither, that's the one either. The Lord has chosen that one. Has not chosen that one. Jesse had seven sons pass before, and before Samuel. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So we asked Jesse, are there any other sons you have? And, well, there's still the youngest one, Jesse said. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So they sent for him, and they brought him, and he was glowing with health and had a fine appearance, a handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. Samuel took his horn and the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. I'll just stop right there. The anointing came upon David. You know what's crazy about that? They sent for him and David showed up right in that moment, but David didn't consecrate himself. The dude was still a mess coming, like, oh, here's a runt of the pack. Come on. And it was that remnant that was the one that was anointed. Anointed to do the work of God. Anointed to do everything that God called him to do. What a crazy thing. Somebody shout, bring me into alignment. Bring me into alignment. Yeah, you say it, so now you got to, now it went out there, so now you got to that make that stuff happen now. Bring me into alignment. Let me read another scripture real quick, and then I'm going to dig into this real fast. Psalms 133. For a minute, I'm going to show you what happens when we get into alignment. Amen? How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Stop. How good and pleasant it is. Isn't it? You get tired of civil war within your family? You get tired of trying to chase everything within your family? I'm not even talking about the family of God, but we all know in our own personal family, we're trying to juggle left and right and what's right, what's wrong, all this stuff. How good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil. Did you hear it? Unity, oil. Unity and oil. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down his collar, down his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling off of Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. How good and pleasant it is when they come together in unity. It's like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard and down his clothing and down his clothes and on the skirt tails of it, all his robes and everything. That's how good it is when everybody's in unity. See, if you're the beard or the skirt of Aaron, all you have to do is be aligned. If you're not, if you're just the beard or the skirt or the robe or the shoes or whatever he's wearing, all you have to do is be aligned. Just be in your place, church. Just be in your place. When God anoints your head, it's going to fall in alignment. And everything that's in alignment is going to get anointed. Just be in your place. And that's why the devil, he will try to move you out of your place and get you out of line. He will try his best to get you out of alignment over and over because he sees what God is sending. And he wants, and what's going on, he sees all this stuff and what's flowing into your life. If you're in alignment, he doesn't want you to be in the right place. See, the enemy's trying to get you not to be in the right place at the right time for the right moment. He's trying his best. And the Lord sent me here today. He sends me here every week. But I'm telling you today, he sent me here. This is the wrong time to move, church. Thank you for the two people that felt that deep in my soul. It's the wrong time to move. Now, I don't know what that means to the individual because we're always moving around doing stuff. And maybe some people are moving into alignment. They need to get back into alignment. But if you're doing it for the wrong reason, you're doing it for yourself, you're missing out. It's only through Christ that I'm going to do anything. That's where I find my strength. That's where my alignment is. There's nothing that's going to come out of me being aligned by Brandon Norman. Nothing good comes out of me aligning with me. Nothing. And too many times people get in agreement and alignment with other people's gossip, and it's not healthy. And you wonder why the oil's not running, because you run your mouth. That's what's running. Amen. Just keeping it real today, church. I don't know what else to do, but just to talk about it. That's the reality. Like, this guy's aggressive. No, I'm just passionate about it because I was that guy trying to align myself with myself and do my own thing. And when the light kicks on, and when you finally know that you're anointed and you feel the presence of God and the oil that runs down, how good and pleasant it is, church. It's so good. What was so amazing last week was the anointing oil was passed around. I slapped it all over my hands and slapped my mama on her hands. And, man, that's good. And I'm like, no, that didn't happen. But, because I would have probably got beat up. But by my mama, by some other people. And but what I loved about it is that it was touching hands. And what I loved about it is some of you anointed your family for the first time ever. Ever anointed your own family. Some of you was anointing your friends. Some of you were anointing your spouse. You see what I'm saying? Stuff was happening that you ain't never done before. Because we make it so weird. If God tells you to do it, guess what he says? I'll show you what to do. Just go and get going. I got you. See, you don't get out of the place. Stand. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord, church. Stand still and see it. See, when the oil hits the head, it's going. It's going to run down it. And if you're the beard, this is the wrong time to move. This is the wrong time to move if you're the beard. You got to move it. Because if you're the beard, then you have to move your life and your body around. I was looking for something. Let me see if it's over here. Hold on. Sorry. I'm going to keep talking to you at the same time. You got to move your life and your body around if you're not in it. There it is. Pull this thing out. You ever seen one of these? I mean, you see it because it's ours. There's a sound that God's trying to do. I don't know if you can hear it, but he's trying to hit a beat on you so that you will line up. All right, everybody get in line. Everybody start lining up. Somebody start lining up. Oh, well, then it starts getting more aggressive. Like, you know what I'm saying? There it goes. The church is getting on it. Okay, you know what I mean? But here's the reality of it. The reality is that when they went to war, somebody in worship was leading the pack. Doo, doo, doo. And they all started lining up and getting themselves in order so God could do something incredible. But you got to hear the sound and get in alignment. And if you look down and you ain't in the line, you better hurry up and get up in that line. If not, you're still going to just be casual and doing what you want. Well, I'll get in it next week. You're just chilling. I'm tired, man. We got one service a week. Are you hearing the sound of the beat? Come on, get to church. If we're not in alignment with God, but also in the house of God, moving together, flowing together, there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a massive problem. So you got to hear the sound, and you got to keep moving in it. See, you want to be lined up with the head. You want to be lined up completely with the head. The head has to, it's got to be with the head, and everything else falls in alignment. And too many times we want to jump out and get our head all sideways, and we ain't getting nothing from the head down. See, with the head, so it can flow. And it hits you with the head, and you in alignment with the head, guess what happens? It flows without effort. When you're in alignment, it flows without effort. When you're not in alignment, guess what happens? You are trying so hard to generate some anointing by doing all this stuff, and you have this little spark. You ever have a lighter? You ever lit a lighter that just won't stay lit? And you're like trying so hard or trying to start a fire, and it just won't, and it keeps going out. That's you out of alignment trying to find the anointing. If you would have just stepped in alignment and hear the sound of the beat and just stayed in alignment, the anointing will just fall on you without effort. You'll just be in the anointing. Right. Woo. You'll be in it without effort. Without effort. See, it's coming my way. Is it coming your way? It's coming my way. The anointing. That's why we want the head. We want it. We want it to be blessed. We want the leaders, even the leaders here at Remnant Church, we want them to be blessed. Because when the oil hits the head of the leaders and it lines up on the leadership, that same oil hits the head and it goes down the beard and it runs down the staff and it runs down to all everybody else that's lining up in that. In the kids' ministry, it runs from the head. It runs down to the leadership. It runs down to them. In the youth ministry, it runs all the way. You see what I'm saying? On the worship, it lines up. That's why it's important for people to get in positions. Well, I don't know where I fit. Just get in. It will fit for you. But you choose not to because you got to paint the pretty picture and think you have to see the whole thing. He said, just go and I'll show you. If not, you want everything to line. Oh, that's what he said. That's that part. So I'm here. Now this is my part. No, what if it's not? What if that's not your part? What if it's something else? Just be in alignment with God, because with or without doing any kind of ministry or so-called ministry, I just want the presence of God in my life. I just want Jesus Christ all day, every day. I just want the anointing to flow and cover everything that's messing up in my life. I just want Jesus. Woo! Somebody shout alignment. We got to get aligned. We got to get aligned with God. It's important that we do. The creation in the book of Genesis. It's incredible because Jesus is him and the Father. They're laying it out, man. Like, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna start getting some stuff laid out. We're gonna start speaking stuff into existence. It shows us the fruitfulness of the alignment. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into the chaotic world and begins to move in the chaotic world, he doesn't say to bring forth anything until it has alignment. Hear me. Nothing comes forth. No fruitfulness of it comes forth until it's all aligned. Until he says, I want to separate the ferments from the waters and the ferments from beneath the waters, and then until the boundaries of the sea meet the ground, and I need to separate all this stuff until the structures are in order, until everything's in alignment. And when it's in alignment, he starts to bring forth fruit from alignment. He starts to bring forth fruit from alignment, and suddenly fish appear, and suddenly there's animals on the land, because he's created the alignment, trying to set the tone, so when you get in the ocean, you get your toes wet, but you can step back out and stay, because the ocean ain't going to keep crawling up. And when he had everything in alignment, all the fruit started showing up. Oh, and then by the way, Adam, you're going to start naming all this stuff. Now it's going to start being fruitful when it's aligned. You want fruit in your life? Get aligned with God. It will start overtaking your life. Good. The fruit starts showing up. See, God can't give you what you're not. I'll say it like this. God can't give you what you're praying about until you get in alignment. We're asking so much, but are we truly in alignment? He's not going to give you vegetables in mud. He's not going to do it. He's not going to give you fruitfulness in chaos. He has to get it in alignment. He's trying to get what he created with his own hands to get in alignment, because he's got something stored up in heaven that needs to come down to earth, and it's waiting on you. It's not going to give you fruitfulness where there are no boundaries. You know how many people live with no boundaries? They just, everything's whatever. Try this, try that. See, the first thing the Holy Spirit does is bring alignment. Then he commands fruitfulness to come out of the alignment. I'll say it like this. If it's true in Genesis, then it was true in Gethsemane. If it's true in Calvary, it's true today. If it's true in Genesis, then it's true in the Psalms. If it's true on Calvary, it's true today. If it was true then, if we stand by the word of God and we read this from the beginning, it was true, and it was true midway through, and it was true on Calvary when he climbed up the tree or walked down the Via della Rosa, it's still true today. Because God is saying to Samuel, hear me out. God is telling Samuel, go to Bethlehem. Wait a minute, go to Bethlehem? You know, he's mourning, he's crying, he's upset. Why am I going to Bethlehem? I have a king. We have a king. And God's like, I found one after my own heart, though. The one you had was after your heart. See, they picked that king. God never intended for them to have actual king. God always intended for the people just to put their trust in him. Yeah. Well, they have a king, and they have a king, but we don't have any. We're Israel, and we don't have a king. You have the king above all kings, and the Lord above all lords. That splits waters. That does some crazy stuff. And you're telling me you need a man to represent that? Well, we have a king. Yes, yeah, Samuel. How'd that work out for you? The one you picked out, bud. And God's like, no, but I have somebody else, one after my own heart. See, God's like, well, Samuel, that was your will, but I'll show you my will. That was your will, but I'll show you my will. See, I don't want my will to be done. I want his will to be done. And I don't know if you hear it or not, but he's trying to tell you, church, go to Bethlehem. So I'll say it again, Samuel, get to Bethlehem. And this text is so important. It's very, very important, because when God says go to Bethlehem, Samuel starts to move from the will of the people to the will of God now. See, before he was at the will of the people because they wanted a king, and he's picking out a king, and he's doing all this. Now God is saying, you need to get to Bethlehem. Now he's in the will of God. Church, again, getting in alignment with God, you need to get in the will of God. He is trying to, again, you hear a sound, you hear the sound of it. He's trying to align some people up, everybody that calls on the name of Jesus. He is trying to put you in alignment. Put you in alignment, because when you get in alignment, because sometimes you're out of alignment, but here's what's crazy. You got people all around you out of alignment. And it might be dramatic, and it might be drama, and it might be all this. But if you get yourself in alignment, your drama team will come into alignment as well. You like that love, didn't you? Drama team, let's go. You see what I'm saying? When you get in alignment, the ones you surround yourself with will follow suit into alignment. If they don't, they ain't going to get in it, but they've been around you long enough, they might as well come on in. Didn't he say that none shall perish? If none shall perish and they're dying and going to hell, why ain't you in alignment? Or you don't mind that your family goes to hell? That's where it's real. Like, I can't just be thinking about myself. Now, I got to do something about it now. I got to get in alignment with God, and God, you use me because I'm surrounded by the people that I know and love, and I got to stay in alignment. I got to let the anointing and the oil run from the head, run down me. I'll get as close as I can. I'm going to stay right underneath that spigot. I want it all. And when it runs down and it flows around, and the people that surround you start to understand, whoa, I want what you got. I want that Jesus. I want that anointing. I want to be anointed. Get in alignment. You can't get God to do whatever you want him to do. We're always asking him to do stuff. You know, God, I pray you just go to Bethlehem. Why does he want him to go to Bethlehem? Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see you lie. Is that a Christmas song? It's not July yet, whatever. It's a Christmas song. It's a little too early for that, isn't it? Or is it? Or was that just a dress rehearsal? Think about it. Why is he going to Bethlehem? Go to Bethlehem. And I don't know why, but it's about Bethlehem. It's all about Bethlehem. Everybody's headed to Bethlehem. You keep hearing me say this over and over, but it's true. There's something about Bethlehem. Ruth is headed to Bethlehem. Boaz was headed to Bethlehem. Now Samuel's saying, I got to get down to Bethlehem. This is a shadow of whatever God is going to do on the earth. That means it's going to come from Bethlehem. And some of you might be thinking, what are you talking about with some Ruth and some Boaz and some... You need to get in the Word of God, because they were all heading to Bethlehem. Because the glory of the Lord is coming from Bethlehem. You need to get to Bethlehem. Samuel, fill your horn and go to Bethlehem. Something's about to happen. It's always about Bethlehem. A little town on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Not heavily populated. Not extremely wealthy. Not very impressive. See, but God doesn't need you to be impressive with men to be impressive with God. Get to Bethlehem. When God's going to do something for you, he's going to do it in Bethlehem, church. You don't have to have a big city. He can do it in a small town, church. You don't have to have a big house. He can do it in your house, church. You don't have to have a big name. He can do it with your name, church. Nobody heard of Remnant Church. Not nobody in this city until we started it. And then it became on the news and it became around the community. Not trying to be boastful, but I'm saying, ain't nobody heard about it. Why? Because God was beating a drum. A drum was beating, not a glass bottle, but a drum. It was beating, and he was trying to align some people to say, start a church in your house. Boo, boo. Don't have to be a big house, just start a church. Boo. Go to the storefront. Boo, boo. Buy the other storefront. Boo, boom. You outgrew that storefront. Boo, boo. Here's a go-kart track. Won't you buy this big warehouse? Boo, boo, boo. Oh, your entire church was the size of your platform. Oh, boo. And some of you know what I'm talking about. We're there when it happened. And guess what we did? We was like, doo, doo, doo. And I wish I could show you the video because there was a bunch of cars just driving all the way over here looking at this property. And what you don't know is some people were out on the outskirts of the city, or the city, the property was boo, boo, hammering stakes in the ground saying, expand the territory, enlarge our tents, expand the territory, enlarge our tents. We're aligning with you, God. Whatever you want to do, fill this house, fill this room, fill this property, fill the... But you got to hear it. We can get real comfortable just saying, oh, we're in alignment. No, 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 no. You can fall out of alignment real quick. Real fast. God wants to do something. He wants to raise you up. And he doesn't need people to help you. He don't need anybody else. He's going to do it. You just got to get in alignment for what he's trying to say. Yeah. See, some people can just go to sleep on you. And you're like, what do you mean by that? Oh, let me say. Well, Jesus had a couple three that were going deeper into the woods with him when he's praying. And guess what? When he needed them the most, they was falling asleep on him. So some people can only go in your life so far. And because you'll know who they are. Well, whoever you hang out with, some of them might just fall asleep on you. Yeah. On your dreams, on your and start doing stupid stuff and not paying attention. Those ain't the ones that can go deeper into the woods with you. And sometimes God separates it on purpose. And you hear the heartbeat of it. Get there. Get in there. Get there. Get in there. Get there. And then the reality is he's trying to get the church. See, look, you're here. You might not have tuned your ear to it yet, but there was a sound that drew you to church today. And it got you into this building. He's trying to align some people because you might not even realize if you needed it or not. But here you are getting into the place of alignment. And see, the enemy, all he wants to do is create confusion, get you out of the church, get you to leave early, get you chaotic, get you messed. You see what I'm saying? He's trying to shift everything. The point is you got to stay focused. Is it worth it? Is it worth it till the end? I can't wait. If somebody's preaching this gospel to me like this, I want to be on the edge of my seat waiting to hear the next thing. I ain't leaving till I get it all. Doing something. The Holy Spirit is coming to Bethlehem to do exceedingly, abundantly, all that we may ask or even think. He's telling, go down, get your horn, get it filled with the oil. And all of a sudden now, look at it. This is good. He's weeping. He's weeping over Saul. God's, you hear that sound. Now, this ain't Jumanji, like somebody's playing a game. You hear the doo, 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 doo. You hear the sound of the beat. God's trying to say, get to Bethlehem. And he's, oh, blah, blah, blah. Saul, how can you hear what God's trying to say if you're still weeping over something that don't want to move? That shifted themselves out of alignment because their pride got the best of them. I don't hear. You can't hear God if your mouth's still moving. And he's like, doom, doom. Get up, go. He's still mourning over Saul. He's not gone. This is the craziest part about Saul. He's mourning Saul like he died. I chose him as king and he's dead. Long live the king. No, Saul was still king. He's mourning because he's not gone when he's gone. He's not gone when he's gone.
You know what? He's gone because God said it. He was gone. Not when Saul said he was gone. He's gone because God said it. You'll hear what I'm saying today. The Bible says, how long will you grieve? How long will you mourn? How long will you be upset? Talking about Saul and like he's dead. He ain't dead. Saul is so much in change that Samuel, listen, so much in charge. Saul's so in charge of the whole scenario that Samuel is afraid to go to Bethlehem because Saul might kill him on the way. So God tells him, look, you're going to go over there and you're going to make a sacrifice. Well, that was normal, going places and making sacrifices. He's like, but I got another plan. They think they're just going for a sacrifice, but I'm going to anoint the king. And so Saul's alive physically, but he's dead spiritually. And Samuel's mourning. But here's the reality is what God said it was already done. That's why I tell you, church, and I'm telling you right now that Calvary was solved in the garden. Calvary, him on the cross, was already a done deal in the garden. You don't have to wait to see it till it happens and when it's over. You don't have to wait until that whole thing unfolds and him climbing on the cross and climbing up on the tree and dying for you. It was already done. When God told Saul it's over, it was over. When Jesus said, yes, not my will, but your will be done, God, in the garden, it was already done. Calvary was settled in the garden. Calvary was settled directly in the garden. It was already sealed. The moment you say yes, in your spirit, it's already done, church. Get aligned with God the moment you say yes. So you got to get down. You got to go down to Bethlehem. You got to go down. You're too high. Get down. I mean, I got one tear in my knees, but when we go start getting some tears in our knees because we're getting down too low, getting on our hands and knees, crying out to God. We're getting too high. Get low. Go to Bethlehem. Go to Bethlehem. Bethlehem means the house of prayer. Or the house of bread, not the house of prayer. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Literally, the house of bread. In the Bible, we see Ruth and Naomi heading to Bethlehem. You can look that up in the book of Ruth. These stories are unreal. It's so crazy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It comes to an understanding that, here's another one, that Rachel gives birth on the way. It's called Ephrathah. It's an Old Testament name for Bethlehem. She gives birth to Benjamin. She gives birth to Benjamin on the way to Bethlehem. And the Bible says that they were just a little ways from Ephrathah when she gave birth and gave out the ghost, and they buried her in Bethlehem. You got to read the stories of these people that are significant to the Word of God. Why does the Holy Spirit keep pulling us back to Bethlehem? Arise, fill your horn. Go down to Bethlehem. Something's about to happen. Something's about to take place. A shift is coming. A shift is coming. A shift in the room is coming. A shift is coming. Get alignment with God. Something's about to happen. It's about to happen quick. I'm not just talking about what I'm reading. I'm talking to you. It's happening quick. Are you getting in alignment to it? There's a shift coming. I'm saying it to you. There's a movement. The move of His glory. A transition is coming. A transition is going. Are you getting in alignment? See, there was a shift coming. A shift in the house of Saul to the house of David. They're getting ready. Something's about to become new. Something is about to change. And what's crazy is David wasn't even related to Saul. But God was going to take something that's not even connected and raise it up. You know why? Because he got an alignment. Well, I'm not in the bloodline. It doesn't matter. You're under my blood. You're in my line. Let's go. You're anointed. See, you've been trying to make connections. You don't need connections with nobody but God. Man, once you're connected with God, God's going to get it done. Go to Bethlehem. See, what caused the oil to stay in the horn? You're talking about a horn. They'd be blowing these horns. Woo! Doing all this sound. What causes the oil to stay and it doesn't flow? What's crazy is that they put wax in the horn. They put wax in the bottom of the horns so that it would hold the oil. If you look it up, it's the craziest thing how they do it. They wax it out, and then they just fill it with oil so that it would hold. I mean, you're talking about big trips. I'm like, how in the heck is he holding that oil in that horn? And until the wax melted, the oil could not flow. Until it melted, it would not flow. And he held the horn over the sons of Jesse, and it wouldn't melt because he wasn't the one. It wouldn't melt because it wasn't in alignment with God. It wouldn't melt. He brought all of them, and it wouldn't melt. And all of a sudden, the prophet, he's holding it up, and he says, is there another? You got to have one more son. I know God ain't going to bring me here acting fool, doing all this stuff for no reason. You got to. Well, we got that, you know, that one. We got that one. We got that. Anybody else that one? I'm that one, definitely. I'm out there. We got that one son. I mean, he out there doing crazy stuff, but he don't know him. I'm going to anoint him. He's going to start a church in Terre Haute, Indiana. It's going to be crazy. Amen. You see what I'm saying? You got that one. You got that one. You got to have somebody else. And it says that he came. And what was crazy is that he tries to anoint seven. Seven is the number of completion. He tries to anoint the seven, and the seven weren't even the ones to be anointed. They weren't in alignment with God. But then that means David was coming. They brought the seven, and he said, we ain't resting until we come. David was number eight, meaning God is about to do something new. Eight means new. He's about to do a new thing. The former things are passed away. Behold, stand in awe, be amazed. I'm about to do something new in your life. Whew. If you haven't gotten it yet, if you haven't got what you've been praying for yet by number seven, hold on tight because number eight is on the way, church. Number eight is on the way. He's about to do something. We need to praise him for those things, man. Praise him for something new. Praising him for something you haven't seen yet. That's why we're passionate about praising the Lord. It's just not leading people into his presence, but we're praying about the stuff that we ain't seen yet and the miracles that we need in our own body. We're going to lift it up. We ain't seen nothing yet. Praising him for something that's going to blow our minds. Something that's out of sequence. Something that's fresh. Something that seems so impossible. God is about to do something. And I'm telling you, church, if you take the time to praise him, it just might melt the wax and the oil will just flow over your heads today. If you just do it, if you just get in alignment with him. Whew. Amen. It's so good. Is this good? It's making sense. That's why it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's time to get in alignment. God's doing something. Last Sunday, the glory of the Lord was so heavy in this room about the anointing. And yet last night at the wedding, it just was just hovering in the room. And it's here today. The anointing of the Lord is on this word right now. Right now in this moment. I want you to receive it. I receive it. It shakes me to my core. I receive it. I want you to understand it. Jesse brought seven sons out, but one of them was out of alignment. Hear me. They were all lined up. He called forth the sons. They all lined up, but there was one out of alignment. He said, you got to have someone else. He said, yeah, David. And what's crazy is there was no flow until they were all aligned. Until all of them got in alignment. Hear me, church. Just because the brother, the big stouty brother, didn't get, you ain't the one. You're horrible. You know, like, how depressing would that be? Nope. Psych. Almost. But until all of them got in alignment, when David stepped right in line with his family, he said, that's the one. And the wax melted, and the oil hit him on top of his head, all the way down into his face and beard, all the way down his feet. But it wasn't just for David to be anointed. Guess what it did? It flowed into the land, into his household, into his brothers. His brothers were some of the mightiest men that the Bible's ever seen. You're talking about ruthless, crazy men that destroyed the enemy by themselves. Well, you see those weird movies like 300. These guys were ruthless. But they were anointed. And most of them were his family. That's where it started. His brothers followed him into the battle. His brothers were there running when he was running with them. Towards the enemy. Not away from the enemy. So when David got in alignment, because he was out of alignment, when he stepped foot, because he heard the sound, and he stepped foot right in alignment, guess what? It hits him, but it hits his whole household. The house of David. Save me! What did the guy say? The guy that was in need? Son of David, have mercy on me! It stopped Jesus in his tracks. You go into my heritage now. Who? Son of David. Because if you go through the Bible and you read the lineage of it, Jesus was related to David. So he came to die on the cross and he kept saying, I'm the King of all kings. Yes, that is the truth, absolutely. But the reality is, he was still king anyway. He was birthright to the throne of David. He was king over Israel anyway. But on top of that, he was king of it all. But people weren't even doing the math right. This is the son of David. Whew. Man. I don't know about you, but I love the word of God. I mean, this stuff just... I hope you're on this journey with me today, because I just want to be aligned with God, because I want him to do something incredible in my life. And I hope you feel the same way, because it's just not about just you, but also what God wants to do through you. See, when you line up in your position, it's going to affect the church. It's going to affect everything we do here. And you know how I know it's going to happen? Because there's some rooms I can't get in because there's too much oil on it. Because somebody that's lined up is full of the anointing of God. And you're like, oh, they stepped in this room. Oh, God, they just got in alignment with God. Oh, it's dripping all over the floor. Oh, you see their footprints of oil. Oh, they just got in alignment with God. And they start to be used, and God's doing something. Well, I don't know that. I'm not used that way. It doesn't matter. Are you aligned? Are you willing? Because if you're willing, he'll do it. I'm not related to Saul. He's king. I guess the question is, what is God waiting on you to do or move in order for you to come in alignment? What needs to be moved? When Samuel held it up, it fell on the house. And what's crazy is David is acting out what Jesus is. So So when David comes to Bethlehem, he's giving us a shadow of the Messiah, the King of Israel, the real King, which David was just a shadow of. But he had to be in Bethlehem. What's crazy is he had to be in Bethlehem. And we all know the stories of little town of Bethlehem. And we all know about all this other stuff. And we talk about David. And some people probably don't even realize that David was anointed to be king in Bethlehem. And here we go. Mary's water breaks in Bethlehem. Now, we just had somebody have a baby this week. We didn't see her singing today. She was probably singing at home and watching. And we had some a couple weeks ago, or a month or so ago, giving birth to... When the water breaks... The water breaks. There's nothing you can do about it. Because what they say is, when the water breaks, whether you like it or not, that baby's coming. Mary's water broke in Bethlehem. The wax melted in Bethlehem. Mary's water broke in Bethlehem. The wax of the Lord broke in Bethlehem. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm trying to say to you. I'm going to find somebody that can hear me real quick. The wax broke in Bethlehem. Mary's water broke in Bethlehem. Everything is breaking loose when you get into the right place, church. When you're in the right place, something is about to break open. Get in alignment with God. It ain't no accident. Her water breaks open in Bethlehem. There's no accident. When she got to Bethlehem, she said, Ho, Joseph. Can't go any further. The baby's coming. Remember, they didn't have room for her, and they went in. You know, we know the story. Sitting with the animals. It was not an accident. Ooh, you were in the right place at the right time. You're about to break loose in Bethlehem. Her water breaks, the wax breaks, and both are kings. Whew. I hope you're with me. I know I'm going deep, and it's kind of can be feel like it's over some people's heads, but this is good stuff. Something's got to break in your life, church. Right. Something's got to break. It's going to break in your life. It's going to break in your family's life. It's going to break over your grandkids. It's going to break over your sister. It's going to break over your uncles and your cousins. It's going to break over their lives. Something's got to give. Something's got to break in their lives. Generational curses are going to break open, and they're going to be broken in Jesus' name. Amen? Yes. Amen. Feel the flow. Feel it. Everything in God is about to flow. It's about a flow. He's trying to flow and move and flow and move. Everything about God has always been about the flow. The Spirit flows. The wax melts. The oil flows. It doesn't just anoint David. It anoints from his head all the way to, like I said, to all the way to Jesus. Not just for David, but everybody that falls in line with that. Are you watching? Are you hearing this, what I'm trying to tell you? So when they bring David down, this is not just history. This is destiny. The wax melts. He's the one. The Holy Spirit moves everything out of the way that is between David's head and the anointed. He gets everything out of the way so that he can anoint it. Whew. See, when it's your time, church, it's your time. When you're in alignment, it's your time. The Holy Spirit knows what God has for you. And here's the thing is, you don't have to fight with nobody about that. I don't know why we have to, like, make up stuff. If God's aligning you to do something incredible, why we got to argue about it? Come on. You ain't got to argue with nobody about it. You don't have to be jealous with nobody. This is yours. This is yours, church. Here it comes. This is yours. You hear me? Like, here it comes. This is yours. You don't have to. It's a releasing that comes down. And when you get aligned, this is what happens. You stay within the flow of the anointing. See, it hit the head of David. And from that point forward, the house of Saul grows weaker and weaker, and the house of David grows stronger and stronger. When it hit his head, the house of Saul started crumbling, getting weaker and weaker. That's what I'm trying to tell you about carrying your cross, because your flesh will start to get weaker and weaker, and your spirit will get stronger and stronger, and the anointing will get stronger and stronger, and your flesh will continue to die off and get weaker. The flesh of Saul is going to start dying down and getting weaker, so that the Spirit of God, it's going to get stronger. The house of David's getting stronger. It's got to die. It's got to die. See, the more you get under the anointing, the house of Saul is going to get weaker. The more you get under the anointing, the house of David gets stronger and stronger. You got to look at it spiritual. You got to look at it. My Saul is getting weaker. my soul, my flesh, all that, my soul is getting weaker. I'm going to have the worship team come. We're just going to, I'm going to just do a little worship and we're going to get out of here. And I just want you to understand something, that when you get in alignment with God and you start reading the word and how everything lines up with that Bethlehem, it's unreal what happens. But when you get in alignment, your flesh gets weaker. See, your flesh fights you to alignment. When you get in alignment, that's when the flesh starts dying off. That's when Saul starts to get weak. That's when the house of David starts to get stronger, because you've been anointed and appointed to do something incredible in your life. So you get stronger and you get stronger. Guess what? Your temptations, they get weaker. Your temptations get weaker. My flesh gets weaker when I'm in alignment. It gets weaker. The house of Saul grows weaker and weaker. From that day forward, years before he was officially made king, what did I say last week? When he was anointed, 22 years, it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time, because what God said, you're going to be king, he said it, it was done at the house of David. Before he took the throne and they put all of it on him, put all of his stuff on him, gave him the horse, gave him all, it didn't matter, he was already king, going back to the sheep. And so when you get in alignment and you get anointed, no matter what it looks like when you walk out of this door, what it looks like when you go about your life, your time is coming. You've already been anointed. The thing you got to do is keep staying in alignment with God. Because the way you lose the anointing is when you step away from the alignment that God has for you. How can the oil flow if you're not under the spigot? That is about as ignorant as you turning on the shower to take a shower and not standing under the water. I got in. That sounds like some like goofy sixth grader. Don't bust your brother out. You got your own problems. That's messed up, isn't it? But that's like getting in the shower and the water's over here and you're just over here and everything's shut and you're just, okay, I took a shower. No, you didn't. You didn't get in. You didn't let it just fall on your head. You didn't consecrate yourself and get ready for what is about to take place. See, when you get under the spigot, the anointing flows. Saul gets weaker and weaker to the point where David will be elevated. See, what God likes to do is elevate people, because he's called us to do something great. And I don't know if you've watched the news or if you've been hiding under a rock, but it's getting crazy out there. But God's not trying to get your butt up out of under here. You know what I mean? Somebody's hiding. You ever seen a kid try to hide when they're real little and their whole hind end's hanging out and they just hide their face from you? If you can't see my face, I guess we're hiding. And I think that's what happens as Christians, because stuff is crazy that we don't want to do anything. We'll say we're reading the Bible. We'll say we're praying and we'll stay off to the side like everybody's got COVID forever. But God's trying to get you up out of under the table and say, get up. I want to get you in alignment. I want to elevate you. I need what you have so we can touch this world. I need you to help bring this person in, because I need to elevate them. But they can't get elevated until you walk into their life. That's what he's looking for. Honestly, that's what he's looking for, because he wants to pour down. He wants the oil to pour down. How good, church, stand with me, how good and how pleasant it is when the saints together come in one accord, when we get in alignment, we hear the sound and we hear the beat. And you hear, we sang this earlier, make me a vessel, make me an offering. I didn't talk about it, and I know it's a lot to talk about. See, the verse to this song, the first verse on this song is talking about the crushing. See, what happened with Samuel is that he's crying. And he's got his butt in the air and hiding. Oh, he's like, you done mourning? The point was, is he was feeling crushed. He was crushed because Saul was not keen anymore. And he's trying to get him to get up. But I think that at times, church, there's people you might feel crushed. But I got to just tell you, because it's real simple. You can't have the anointing. You can't even get anointing oil until some grapes are crushed. You can't. You think oil just shows up? Something has to be crushed. Something. So whatever it took for Samuel to create and crush and put the wax in there and then dump it in and take it on a journey and drag a heifer all the way to Bethlehem. But can you see it when you just got your eyes closed? That when you get in alignment with God and you just receive with the hands lifted, that he's got his hand of oil in his horn. Did you hear the sound? To a line, and he's pouring it out on your head, and you got to close your eyes in this because it's going to fill your entire body. Wow. We're going to worship for a little bit. And if you need to spend a few minutes, I know what time it is. Listen, get in alignment. Maybe you've been off. Maybe your alignment, like a car, just was just a little off, and it just kept drifting you to the right or to the left. You've got to get yourself lined back in. Because he's anointed you to do a great thing. But to keep the anointing, you have to stay in alignment. You feel dry? Here's your sign. Get to the altar. Let's get in some alignment. You feel weary? Feel like you can't hear God? Here's your sign. Quit crying over this other stuff. He said, get up and let's get going. You know what? If Samuel wouldn't have gotten alignment with God in that moment, he wouldn't have anointed the future king. Everybody has to get in alignment. Samuel wasn't even Samuel. God already spoke to Samuel and said, look, you all looking on the outside. I look at the heart. He already corrected him. So that, I love it when he corrects him because it just gives me good news. Samuel wasn't perfect. He's human like anybody else. So we're going to spend some time.